sermon on the subject of motherhood from Scripture. I want to read with you from Psalm 113. We'll read the 9 verses of Psalm 113. This is God's holy and inspired word. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. We read this far in God's holy and inspired word. Let's pray. Lord God, bless our worship today. May thy word that has been prepared and is brought to us be for our edification. And may thy name be honored in all of our keeping of this day holy to thee. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Mother's Day. It's been called a Hallmark holiday because today retailers make big money on cards and flowers and cake, and people around the globe pay homage to their mothers. And tomorrow, motherhood is mocked and frowned upon again. I suppose there's something to that. As a child in our family, we never celebrated Mother's Day, except that this way, occasionally, there'd be a write-up about our family in the local small-town newspaper with headings like this: A Dozen Reasons to Be Happy, or Every Day is Mother's Day. And I think that second heading was one of my father's reasons for not celebrating Mother's Day. He wanted us to honor our mother every day of the year. So if it's a Hallmark holiday, why this morning are we looking at the subject of motherhood? And I want to give you at least 4 reasons. The first is, it's biblical to talk about motherhood. The Bible has a lot to say about it, and God, in the beginning, created Eve to be a mother. Second, and very obvious, is this reason: that the culture and the world that we live in denigrates motherhood. That's evident in many different ways, but I'll mention just 2, feminism and abortion. It's not just the selfishness of the sexual revolution that drives abortion, but also feminism. Feminism, which tells women to put themselves and personal dominion before motherhood and serving others in love, and rejects the value of mothers, has endorsed the murder of children. A third reason is this: that we acknowledge that we don't ourselves give the honor that we should to mothers and to motherhood in the church. And that's because the same sinful, selfish attitudes that characterize the world and its view are present in our homes and in our hearts. We're more likely to say about Mother's Day, it's a Hallmark holiday, she doesn't need any special recognition, than to say we ought to be bestowing honor on her every day of the year. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 and 29, we read them with a question. And the question is, how true is this of our home? Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And this is his praise: many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. How often are our mothers and our wives hearing that in our homes? It's not as it should be. So this is an important subject, not just for mothers today, but for all of us. And then a fourth reason And that's for mothers. I mean, mothers in our congregation. They need encouragement from God's Word, not only from us, but from God's Word also. And that comes in this form, that they realize the great spiritual value of being a mother in the covenant home, of being what the Bible calls a mother in Israel. It's not just a calling, but it's a privilege and a high honor bestowed on believing mothers from God Himself. And so happy Mother's Day to you, and I hope and pray that you're encouraged today in your important work from God's Word. I want to speak to you this morning from Psalm 113, verse 9. I'll read the entire verse. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And what I'm interested in especially is the description there of a mother. She is a joyful mother of children. The theme will be joyful mothers. Let's notice first here the encouraging description, second the biblical reasons, and then third, a joy-filled life. Joyful mothers, the encouraging description, and then the biblical reasons, and then third, the joy-filled life. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. When you hear those words, mothers, joyful mother of children, or maybe when you sing Psalter number 360, which speaks of the joys of motherhood, you react. You say, you're hesitant. You say, that's not really how it is. Or maybe you have some guilt because you don't find joy in motherhood. You say, that's different than the reality of what goes on behind the closed doors of my home. Maybe you say, yes, occasionally there's joy. I smile when I hold a newborn baby, or there's some brighter and lighter moments in my home. A child's faith comes out in something that they say, or there's a flair for humor among the children. But you look at motherhood as a burden. And you say, I couldn't describe myself as a joyful mother. And when I say that, I think especially of the early years of motherhood with young children. You had this ideal, this dream, and you found out that motherhood isn't really what you expected. There's a busyness and a monotony and sometimes a loneliness that leaves you, well, ragged and worn. Motherhood. How shall we describe it? It is a task and calling like no other. Motherhood, it's a long-term commitment to being a full-time servant. A servant. On the one hand, you're giving yourself up to serve continually. And on the other hand, there's a certain inescapableness about it. There's no easy way out of your responsibilities. Motherhood, it's demanding. It demands all of your time and an extreme amount of skill. From cleaning house and other household duties to being an organizer of daily activities to studying books and teaching children and preparing meals and counseling your husband and your teenagers to being a nurse and a family accountant and a dietitian and entertaining guests. And so I could go on. Motherhood, it seems to be the most thankless of tasks. Who understands or knows what a mother does in a day or in a week? Who knows the struggles, the pains, the emotions of a mother's soul? Who can put a price tag on what she does? Who ever gives her the thanks and the gratitude that she deserves for all of this? Joyful mothers? Joyful mothers? The world looks at this and it says, women need to be liberated from such oppression. She must be saved from patriarchy. She must be given an equal role and place in leadership in the home and in the church and in society. And they scoff at women who are mothers and say, you're what? A homemaker? That's all? Why does your husband treat you this way? How insignificant what you do is, how menial, how uninfluential you are. And it says, get out, be someone, take on the world of men, become a lawyer, a doctor, a CEO, a judge, a pastor. And it says to those who are mothers and homemakers, your existence is miserable. Find some joy, find some happiness. And it says of motherhood, you can be a mother without being married, without putting yourself in that relationship to a husband, without staying home. You don't need to stay home. Joyful mothers. And of course, it's not only the world that reacts. There might be a mother in the church who says, well, joyful mothers, that's kind of idealistic. That doesn't match reality. Come and live my life for a day or two, and you'll find out. Put up with my children. Live in subjection to my husband. There isn't much joy in it. But here, mothers, God's word gives us a very encouraging description of motherhood. He makes her to be a joyful mother of children. It is a reality. There is joy in being a mother. Even in a sin-cursed world in which we live, in which God says to women, Genesis chapter 3, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Even there's joy in motherhood. Even in the most difficult situation for a mother with disabled child or a child who's a rebel or sleepless nights endlessly, there's joy. A joyful mother. That's God's word here, and that's a promise. This is what God, in His grace, makes a believing woman to be, a joyful mother of children. And this is not the only place in Scripture that describes it this way. Proverbs 31, verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. And the Scripture gives many examples of joyful mothers. Think of the first mother, Eve, who names her children in praise to God. She says when she receives her firstborn, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And then when Seth is born, she says, God has appointed me a seed. She rejoices. Sarah, Abraham's wife, she says, God has made me to laugh, and all that hear will laugh with me. She rejoices in motherhood, and she calls her son Isaac, laughter, joy. Hannah says, when she's given a child, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, and she calls her child Samuel, asked of God. And you can think of many other mothers in Scripture, Rachel, Jabez's mother, Mary, Elizabeth, Timothy's mother and grandmother. So what's the joy of motherhood? Well, it's not merely external and superficial. It's not a bubbly, giddy, emotional, temporal joy. Yes, it may express itself in outward happiness, and certainly a mother's happiness is infectious in a home. But the joy of motherhood here is a contentment and a pleasure and a sense of fulfillment in the calling that God has given. A contentment, a delight or pleasure, and a sense of fulfillment in the calling that God has given. And that joy motivates a mother to live as she should as a mother. It shows itself in her behavior in the home towards her children and her husband and her love and care for them and her willingness to be a mother in all that entails. And that joy for a mother is not circumstantial. It's not based on the realities of life around her. She doesn't rejoice in a dirty house or a pile of laundry. It's not based on circumstances or feelings or experiences or a situation, but it's based on the promise of God's word that motherhood is joyful. You see, the woman that's described here is a woman who's made by God to be a joyful mother of children. Or we could say she's a woman whom the Holy Spirit makes to be a joyful mother of children. Or we could put it this way, she's a believing woman. She's a woman who has faith in God's word. And this inner joy is a joy and peace that's created in her heart as she believes God's word and promise. And as she goes on in her labor as a mother. The life of being a mother is a life of faith. Believing. Now, it's not, that doesn't mean that all the rewards and all the joy are future only, exclusively. No, there are real joys in motherhood from day to day, but it takes faith, we could say, to see them and to rejoice in them. And the principle that must govern the mother's life who is a believer, if she is to have joy, is that she lives by faith in God's word. God says there are joys. God says that there are rewards. And you believe God's word. And you live by that even when there seem to be no rewards at all. You go on in faith. There's a promise of joy. And really the question for women is this. Who are you going to believe when you analyze and evaluate your task as a mother? Are you going to believe the books and the philosophies of the feminist culture and world that we live in? Or are you going to believe God's word here in Psalm 113 or Psalm 31 or Proverbs 31? She shall rejoice in time to come. And so a woman's joy is based on God's word and her faith, her belief in God's word. Then the temptations to think of motherhood as a miserable existence are overcome. Then the doubts about the place and the joy of motherhood are overcome. So this begins by trusting God's word and what God has made the woman to be. So what reasons are there for a woman to find joy in being a mother? What does God's word say that you can hold on to by faith that will give you joy? There are three things here. First, this. Ordinarily, it is God's will for the believing woman to be a mother and a keeper at home. And every believer delights to do the will of God. That's our delight. And so the believing mother finds joy and happiness in the place and the calling that God has given to her. You see that right here in Psalm 113, that this is God's will for women. The skeleton of the verse is this. He maketh the woman to keep house and to be a mother of children. To keep house and to be a mother of children. Psalm 113 is a psalm of praise. A psalm of praise to God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. And then the question is asked, who is a God like to our God? Our God who dwells on high, incomparable in his exaltedness, and who condescends, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. And then the question is, we praise God because the Almighty God condescends. He does that especially in the coming of Jesus Christ into our flesh. But how's that condescension of God expressed here in this psalm? Well, in two ways. One, he raises the poor out of the dust. And number two, he makes the barren woman to be a mother of children. So here's what it's saying. God's condescension and God's, we could say, sympathy is shown in this way, that he knows women, he knows, he sees you, your prayers, your needs. If you're barren, he knows that need. And this is what God does. He makes you to be. Two things. One who keeps house and one who is a mother of children. And that's his will. And in this psalm of praise, we could put it this way. A woman shows her praise to God, as God has put her in that situation as a married woman with children. She shows her praise to God by delighting to do the will of God. In the book of Genesis, already in the very beginning, and Genesis is the book of origins, we see that God created man and women differently. He created them to complement one another, and he created them with distinct roles, gender roles. The creation of Adam and Eve was different. They were created at different times, from different materials, with a different purpose. And God not only shows there the gender distinction, but the roles of Adam and Eve. And then the words that are used to describe Eve, the names given to her. In other words, helper and mother. God says she'll be a help, suited, meet for you. Adam says she shall be called Eve because she'll be the mother of all living. And so when a woman, a believing woman now, desires to be a mother and to have a servant's heart, that's natural. That's the way God created it. And a woman must never be ashamed of being that, a helper and a mother. And of course that fits with what a Christian is, doesn't it? Romans 14 says, none of us are to live for ourselves. The posture of the believer is a readiness to serve. So a believing mother, it's the way God has made things to be, nothing to be ashamed of. And that's the paradox and the joy of the Christian life, isn't it? To serve, we find our joy not in living for self, but in serving. And those two ideas here in the text are in the New Testament, too, to describe mothers. He maketh her to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Those two ideas. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The woman is called by God to be a mother of children and a keeper at home. She has to do that physically. If God gives her a husband and the ability to conceive children, she, as it were, even gives over her body to conceive and to bring forth children. But then it's more than that, isn't it? Much more. She doesn't hand those children over to someone else to bring up in daycare or some other way. But part of it is that she is a keeper in the home, and she raises the children in the home. And once the children are born, she, as it were, turns the house into a home for them. She's there as their mother. That's God's word and will for mothers. And the woman will find joy in that, because there's joy in service and there's joy for the believer in obedience. Disobedience brings guilt and unhappiness. And the woman who refuses to be a mother, or refuses when she's a mother to bring forth to be a mother at home with the children. She doesn't have this joy, but it's a joy that comes in the way of obedience to God's word and will. So first you do it because you desire to be obedient to God and you delight in service. And what a praiseworthy thing. What a Christ-likeness is shown in mothers who help and are mothers. But there's another reason for joy in being a mother, and that is that this is the God-ordained way of salvation for women ordinarily. 1 Timothy 2 verse 15, after the apostle has said women are not to have a teaching position and a position of authority in the church, he describes the place of women in God's covenant this way: she shall be saved in childbearing. What does that mean? Well, salvation here doesn't mean the forgiveness of sin, so that a woman, by going through the pain of childbirth, in some way does penance and earns forgiveness for her sins. Rather, it means when she shall be saved in childbearing, it means this is the pathway through life to glory which God has ordinarily laid out for women in the covenant. For every one of us, there's a pathway to glory. Not every woman will have this pathway. Some will walk the pathway of being single. Others will walk the pathway of being childless. And God lays out a pathway for each of us. My pathway is to be a minister of the gospel and a father to my family. Another is a painter. Another is an accountant. Another works in construction. And this is the way that we're saved, the way that God and providentially has laid out for us in life. And now God says to married women with children, this is the way of your salvation. Walk in this way. Give birth and rear children as a homemaker. She shall be saved in childbearing. And what that really means is this, that God has reversed the curse of Genesis 3 on childbearing. There's God's mercy to us as he saves us in whatever way he's determined for us. He doesn't just curse Eve and all women by saying, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, but he turns that sorrow of bringing forth children into a way of blessing and triumph over the curse for the woman. She shall be saved in childbearing. But then there's a third reason closely connected to that, and that has to do with the future of the church. In being a mother, bearing and rearing children, you live by faith in God's promise to save his people covenantally and in generations. That was true for Eve in the very beginning. God gave the promise to her concerning her seed that it would crush the head of the serpent. And believing that promise, she brought forth children, and she saw the conflict of it already in her children when Cain slew Abel. And it was the same for Sarah and every Old Testament mother. And this was the desire in the Old Testament of the barren woman to have children, right here in the text. The salvation of the church came through their being mothers. Christ, the promise, came from the womb of the Old Testament church. And for mothers in the church today, it's really the same. Now, it's not Christ that comes from our womb, but it's the elect church and bride of Christ that is born to believing mothers. And it's not until every child of that elect church has been born and brought to faith that the full salvation of the church comes. And being a mother means the salvation of the church. And that makes the calling of motherhood very important and joyful. What a joy. This is a calling with enduring, eternal results. working in the business world, becoming president of the United States of America. These things won't stand forever, but this will. This will serve the eternal salvation of the church, the birth of another member of the body of Christ, another soldier in the army of Christ. This will overcome the kingdom of darkness. The equipping of another child in the home through godly instruction with the weapons of faith in the scripture, this will overcome Satan and his darkness. This will stand in heaven as an everlasting testimony that you brought forth in sorrow and in pain a covenant child, and that you gave yourself in sacrifice to the care and the instruction of the child, and that they learned the name of Jesus and later confessed it because of what you did. Or through what you did as a mother. You see the importance here of motherhood and the joy of motherhood. Well, the result for a godly mother is a joy-filled life. That's what joyful means, joy-filled. And that begins, that joy does, in a mother's soul, in her heart. I said, in faith. But it's not only in understanding the value of motherhood, but also in knowing the grace of God that upholds you in your task and that forgives you. A godly mother is a blessing, not only in her service and obedience, but also in her humility. And one of the great temptations that a mother faces is that she doubts her worth. And that's where grace is so important. You see, the danger is that a mother looks at her high calling and then at her own shortcomings, and she says, I'm not a good mother. I'm a terrible wife. I'm a failure. And perhaps she comes to the end of another very busy day when there were so many things you wanted to accomplish that you didn't get to, and you look back and you realize how many ways you've fallen short. You were short with your children. You weren't attentive to their needs or achievements. You weren't appreciative of others in the home. And now, tomorrow, you face all of this again and you say, I can't do it. And you're anxious and you're guilty and you feel weak, and it's all quite depressing. Then, mothers, listen. You are a blessing. If you've sinned, confess your sins to God and look to Him. There's forgiveness. And then Philippians 4, verse 8. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God doesn't condemn. God doesn't depend on our weakness. But He delights in showing mercy and in giving grace to strengthen. He forgives. And He uses the weakest means to fulfill His will. So delight in the grace of God to be your strength and to give you joy as a mother. And praise Him for what He has given you in your home and in His grace. In the short epistle of 3 John, the third to the last book of the Bible, we read these words, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's the fruit and blessing of your labor. And this joy is not something that you anxiously wait for, but it's a joy that a godly mother experiences in her daily life. You'll find it when your children speak or sing or love or obey or care. When God works by His grace in them, and you see that, and God puts those children with their words in your home and in your life to give you joy, there's no greater joy than to see God's work of grace in them. Husbands, when was the last time you verbalized your praise and thanks and encouragement to your wife? Children, teenagers, when last did you show something, do something to show your appreciation to your mother? And you say, I did it this morning. Well, don't let today be just a hallmark holiday, a rare occasion. But let every day be Mother's Day. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And he says, there's none like you. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The children rise up and call her blessed. Mothers, you are a blessing. You are. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the Christian home, for thy covenant blessings to us.